जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेमदेवहितंयदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ओ गॉड्स, मे वी ऑलवेज हियर विथ अवर इयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। ओ वर्शिपफुल वंस, मे वी विथ अवर आईज ऑलवेज सी व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। मे वी लिव अवर अलॉटेड लाइफ हेल एंड हार्टी, offering our praises unto Thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all-nourishing portion be propitious to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure all our welfare. Om, peace, peace. Peace be unto all. We have completed the first chapter of the Mandukya Upanishad called Agama Prakarna. The chapter called Agama Prakarna. And I would like to give an introduction to this for the newcomers. I do not know how much time it might take, but doesn't matter, but it will be very helpful. Mandukya Upanishad belongs to the Atharvana Veda. It is called Mandukya because it is associated with a rishi by name Manduka. Manduka means a frog. And some people call this Upanishad Frog Upanishad, English language of course, because the teaching in this Upanishad is extraordinarily unique and it takes a big leap like a frog, and it expects us also to take a big leap. Remember, more than once, Ramakrishna was describing how the Kundalini rises from the Mooladhara to the Sahasrara, like a snake, like an ant, like a bird, and one of the descriptions is like a frog. It sits still and suddenly it takes a leap, big leap forward, or even small leaps. But here we are talking about a leap, an intellectual leap, and certain Vedantic principles are not only from the scriptures, but Shruti, Yukti and Anubhava. The scriptures, our own reasoning power and our own experience all confirm to that, and I will come to that point a little later. This Mandukya Upanishad is a small Upanishad, the smallest of all the major Upanishads. I do not know if there is any other Upanishad which is less than 12 mantras. I have to do some research on that. This Mandukya Upanishad consists of only 12 mantras. But most profound, it is so great, not only because of its terse teachings, but because Gaudapada Acharya, the great guru, guru's guru, remember, Shankaracharya's guru was Govinda Bhagavatpada, and his guru, grandfather guru, was Gaudapada Bhagavat, Gaudapada. This is not a name. It is a just like a person comes, he is a Hyderabad wali. He is a London citizen. He is a New York citizen. So this Gaudapada, Gauda means Gauda Desha means West Bengal, and West Bengal, this person was living. What was his original name and where exactly did he live? We do not know, but it must be in the 7th century or what we say early 600, because his disciple was Govindacharya, and Govindacharya's disciple was Shankaracharya, who was supposed to be 688, something like that. Regarding Indian chronology of these great personalities is not very reliable. Even now there is terrible controversy, but for us, history is his story, God's story. We are not bothered about persons at all, individuals at all. So this is one of the smallest Upanishads, and this great Gaudapada Acharya has written an analysis, very beautiful analysis, very what we call tough analysis, in very confusing as well as concise words, because he has freely borrowed from the Buddhistic philosophy. That's why sometimes Nidra, a simple word, we discussed about it. Nidra usually means that third state, that is Sushupti, deep sleep. But here, Nidra means not knowing a thing as what it is. Not knowing is called Nidra, and knowing something as completely separate is called dream. Nidra and Swapna. For example, not to know that this is a rope is Nidra, and to know that this is not only not a rope, but it is a snake, mistaking, superimposing one upon the other, is called Swapna. So in the waking state, dream state, we suffer from both Nidra as well as Swapna, not knowing the truth and mistaking the truth for something else. But in the deep sleep, we are bound only by one of them. That is, we do not know what is truth. At least we do not mistake it as something else. In Vedantic language, Maya has got two powers, Avarana and Vikshepa. Vikshepa, Avarana, both function in waking and dream. Only Avarana works in the deep sleep state. Anyway, by and by, we will understand about these things. But the what I am referring to is, the Gaudapada Acharya could easily have used certain words which are familiar, for example, Avarana Shakti, Vikshep Shakti, but he goes on trying to do these things. So anyway, he has written a marvelous commentary, and that commentary is in the form of 215 verses, and the very first chapter, 29 verses are there, and these verses by Gaudapada Acharya explaining these mantras are also called Karikas. So Gaudapada is the guru of Shankaracharya's guru, Govindacharya. Gaudapada's work is called Mandukya Karika, and there are 215 verses. Each verse is called a Karika. Shankara writes a commentary on the 12 mantras of the Upanishads, and then also commentary on the 215 Karikas. So the 12 mantras of the Upanishad plus the 215 Karikas along with Shankaracharya's Bhashya, on both the mantras as well as the karikas, are divided into four chapters. The first chapter is called Agama Prakaranam. Agama means Vedas or original scriptures. So, all the 12 mantras which belong to the Atharvana Veda, they all belong to that Veda, plus of course 29 karikas of Gaudapadacharya. So, because the Upanishad is there in its entirety, plus a beautiful analysis of the 3-4 states of the our normal experience and 4 parts of the Atman. That is why it is called Agama Prakaranam, chapter of the Veda. The second chapter, third chapter and fourth chapter, altogether 4 chapters. Second chapter is called Vaitathya. Tathya means as it is. Remember, Buddha arrived at the truth. That's why it's called Tathagata. Tatha means at the truth. Agata, arrived at the truth. That's why it's called Tathagata. So, Vaitathya means opposite to truth. That means untruth. That means mithya. That means maya. That means the samsara, which we all experience through the waking, dream and dreamless states. All are what is called mithya according to Advaita Vedanta. So, this second chapter, through logic especially, tries to prove how all these states that we experience is unreal, therefore mithya, therefore untruth, therefore it has to be given up, and it can be given up by knowing the truth, by certain spiritual practices called upasana, about which we will come later on. And Gaudapada has got 38 karikas. So, this second chapter called Vaitathya contains 38 shlokas or karikas trying to prove the unreal nature of the universe. The third chapter is titled as Advaita Prakaranam, based upon what you call Advaita, which is the peak of Jnana Marga, Parabrahman. So, this third chapter is called Advaita Prakaranam, chapter aptly entitled as Advaita. And Gaudapada has 48 karikas. So, therefore, we have also got Shankara Bhashya on all the 48 karikas. Here, Gaudapada wants to prove the ultimate truth is Advaita. All these things do not exist really, and very terse logic is used. So, whatever we are experiencing, all the 3 states is all completely to be negated through certain process called upasana. But the ultimate essence is Advaita alone is the truth, and it doesn't ever change. It is changeless. It is one without a second. It is infinite. It is pure consciousness. So, pure consciousness called Brahman never becomes a subject, never becomes a jiva. Everything is an appearance. So, but when we are ignorant, like a person, because of some defect in the eye, he sees one moon as 2 moons, every object as 2. It is not that there are 2 moons, but it is the problem in that person's eye. When eye doctor corrects it, he sees only one moon, that is in the sky, not 2 or 3 or more. Advaitam is the essence. This again he wants to prove. This is the only way we can get rid of 3 sources of affliction, tritapa, and reclaim Aham Brahmasmi. And the fourth chapter is having what we call Alaptha Shanti Prakarana. Prakarana means chapter. Shanti means cessation. Alaptha means when you take a lighted lamp and go on whirling round and round, it appears to be one huge circle, but really only one tip of the stick burning brightly. So like that, the truth is one, but because of Maya, because of the restlessness of the mind, just as the one moon in the sky, because of the movement of the waves, appear to be many, many, many moons. So this manyness, dvaitam, is not real. And until we know this truth and claim that I am Brahman, I am one without a second, we will not really get out. So we don't need to attain it, important point, but we only need to claim, which we already are. An example is given. A prince was lost in his childhood. Somebody kidnapped him, or he was lost somehow, and he was adopted by a family of beggars, and he grew up and he became very important king of the beggars, because that quality was already there. And one day, and the old prime minister of that country happened to pass by, and he has seen, immediately recognized him, tried to convince him that you are not a beggar, you are a prince. But it took quite some time through various proofs. So the prince, the beggar, has not become the prince. He was the prince. He is the prince. He will be the prince. But merely that ajnana, that I am not a prince, I am a beggar, that wrong notion has to be removed. And this can be removed here in a very important point. We all suffer. You are a bhakta, you suffer from bondage. You are a karma yogi, you are a raja yogi, you are a jnana yogi. All of us suffer. But unlike some fanatics, some of the followers who follow the jnana marga, who claim that there is only one way, Sri Ramakrishna taught us, infinite pathways are there, jatoma tatopat. Easiest of them is bhakti. When a person sincerely says, O Lord, you are my mother, you are my father, God assumes that role and adopts that child and says, you are really my child, and I will give you my inheritance. You will inherit my nature, my kingdom. This is called in Christianity entering into the kingdom of heaven, means to know that I am with God, I was with God, I will be with God. Meanwhile, I had a dream, I was separated from God. Upon waking up, I come to know that I am God and nothing else. And this fourth chapter contains 100 karikas, 100, 48, 38, 29, total 215 karikas. And through all this, what is the essence? Essence is, each soul is potentially divine. The goal of life is to slowly know that I am divine, and for that, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga are there. Christianity is there. Islam is there. Buddhism, Sikhism, many other religions. Every religion is a doorway taking us to that central truth, which is Aham Brahmasmi. And if we understood this much, we have more or less understood the very essence of this Mandukya Upanishad. Now chapter 1, Agama Prakaranam. We'll just take a little bit. There are 12 mantras are there. Now the first mantra is telling of Omkara. Omkara has got 4 parts. The word, let me use that word Om as four parts, A, O, Ma, and Mm. And everything is Omkara, everything is whatever was in the past, whatever is and whatever will be, that means the entire creation that was, that is and that will be, is nothing but Omkara. What does it mean? It means Omkara is a representation of Brahman and the whole universe is nothing but Brahman. And some of the Upanishads give us crystal clear clarity that this Atman or Brahman, same synonymous words, Turiyam, Atma, Brahman, Bhagavan, Nirguna Brahma, Sri Ramakrishna used to call Kali, Shakti, synonymous words, no difference at all. That is the only truth. Each soul is potentially divine. We have to understand, potentiality doesn't mean that some small part of the divinity is there within us. No, it is 100%, like 100% of the banyan tree is within the tiny seed, banyan seed. But it is, we are unable to see it because of certain limitations. When it removes by growing up, these limitations are removed, then we see this tree in all its glory. That is a marvelous thing that we have to understand. So, we have to manifest through appropriate instruments, and these instruments are three: my body, my mind, and the entire world. So, the world, my body, consisting of five Jnanendriyas and five Karmendriyas, and my mind consisting of Manas, Buddhi, Chitta and Ahankara. These are the instruments specifically provided in all their power only to human beings, human body, so that he can realize God. That's why human body is the peak of biological evolution. There would be no different kind of human body. That's all. Now, how do we know? Because literally millions of people over countless past years have realized God through this very human body. There is a scientific law. If a person can realize God through this human body, just like scientific experiment, if one person succeeds in experimenting in a particular way and obtain a particular result, anybody who does exactly the same way, experiments the same way, that person must get the same result. H2O only becomes water, not anything else. That is the scientific law. So through Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, literally millions of human beings have attained liberation. Some of them straight away became one with that experience. Some of them, God kept their bodies and minds, called Jivan Muktas. But whatever, that is the goal of life. So the goal is to manifest. That's what Swami Vivekananda, in such pregnant words, three sentences. How to attain? There are infinite ways. All the ways fall into four faculties: activity, emotion, will, and intellect. And everybody is a combination of these things. So, first mantra tells us everything is Omkara. How does it, why does it tell us? What is the reason? Reason is, supposing you peep out through the window, what is that first thing you notice? There is a window, and outside the window there are some trees. There is a first particular tree which is giving beautiful, fragrant flower. So, that beautiful tree is a name, fragrant flower is a name. Your eyes bring that information, your nose brings that information. If there is a bird chirping, your ears bring that information. If there is cool breeze, that brings, cools the body, brings relief, the skin is working. And if it can give beautiful fruit like ripe mango, and it is sweet, flavory, and very tasty, the tongue is working. So we can enjoy either the world or spiritual life only through these body, mind, and the world is the object. Through this instrument, we contact the world, try to learn our lesson. At first we learn bad lessons, there is nothing else exists excepting world. Later on, after getting nice blows, wisdom tooth often comes very late in life and very painful too. Then we realize that the world cannot really give happiness. World can be only an instrument to bring out the happiness within me. But that is what is called moral and spiritual evolution. So from the worldliness, from the secular life to a spiritual life, that is part of the divine plan. First to secular life, then moral life, then of course spiritual life. This is how evolution will take place. So what am I talking about? First mantra in the Mandukya Upanishad tells everything, the whole universe, including my body and mind, because every part of my body, every function of my inner organ called mind, it has a specific name. When I am inquiring, it is called mind. When I remember, I have seen this before, that is called chitta. When this information or knowledge is confirmed by the buddhi, that is called knowledge. And there, with each of these processes, I want to know, I do remember this, and I know this is such and such a thing, that ahankara will be behind these three. So there is a eternal relationship established between omkara and this entire objective universe. So this omkara has four matras, a, o, ma, and like om. That is called a matra. Really speaking, that is silence. Silence means to go beyond the three states of experience. That is the essence of the first mantra. What is the essence? Everything is omkara, and omkara is a name, and the names of every single object that was in the past, that is now, and that will be in future, even if some new object is invented in future, all those fall upon inside the A, U, and Ma. There is no other way. And this beautiful point has been so beautifully explained by Swami Vivekananda in his talks on Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga, there are two types of talks. So one is what we call talks on Bhakti Yoga. The other one, that is where he explains what is this mantra, what is this omkara. I will not go into it. Now, omkara is everything because we know anything because of the name and the named. The knowledge within us is called the name, and the object representing this knowledge is called an object outside, and they always remain unified. They will not, they cannot be separated. You can't think of a name without the object. You can't receive or experience an object without recollecting a name. Even if you do not know, you say it is something like that. That is the name until you come to know official name. Now the second mantra is dividing Atma Vichara. This Atman has got four parts: the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. And that which comprises these three is called the Turiyam state. Now the equation between the four matras of the Omkara, four matras of the our experience, have to be practiced as a sadhana. Then we will see the real Omkara as a whole is the symbol of the highest reality called Brahman. And there is only one Brahman. Therefore, I do not exist, you do not exist, whatever exists is Brahman. This is the purpose of dividing. Then third mantra describes very graphically the condition of the waking state. Fourth mantra describes the condition of the dream state. Fifth and sixth mantras describe the deep sleep as an individual is beautifully described in the fifth mantra, and the same individual as Ishvara or collective way, collective aspect called Ishvara is described in the sixth mantra. The point of describing all these three states, Jagrat, Svapna, Sushupti, both in their individual as well as collective level, is to indicate that we are limiting ourselves at every given state of experience, only with that state of experience, and that is what causes our bondage. And if we want to be free from all suffering and bondage, we have to identify ourselves with that state which comprises all these three states, but far transcends, far above these three states. An example is given. 1 rupee contains 1 anna, 1 rupee contains 4 annas, 1 rupee also contains 8 annas, and 1 rupee is far superior to both all the three, 1 anna, 4 annas, 8 annas, even 12 annas, 13 annas, 14 annas, 15 annas, it doesn't matter. It's an example. So, our goal is what Sri Ramakrishna calls to realize God, what Swami Vivekananda calls to know that I am divine, and that is called Turiyam, that is called Brahman. Now, what is the nature of the Turiyam? And that is graphically described in the seventh mantra. It has two parts. Turiyam is not the waking state, the dream state, or the deep sleep state, not in between states, not fully conscious state, not non-conscious state, neither a mixture of conscious and unconscious states. Very marvelous description. And then he goes, prapancho pashamam, avyavaharyam, agrahyam, shivam, shantam, advaitam. We have discussed, this is the essence of the seventh mantra. So what is the, that normally as a bound souls, we are experiencing Jagrat, Svapna, Sushupti. And whatever we are experiencing, for that, so long as we experience, for example, the waking state, that is the state of reality. The moment we experience dream state, that is the state of reality. The moment we experience, so long we experience the deep sleep state, that is the state of reality. But each state contradicts, if this is real, the other two states become unreal. That way, I deny your reality, you deny my reality. Finally, it turns out to be nothing is reality. But the Upanishad says, now, like the blind man, one touching the leg, it is a pillar. One touching the trunk, it is like a huge stick, like a huge rope, the person who is stretching the tail, etc., etc. They are all right. But that is not the point. The point is, they do not realize because of their blindness or ajnana that what I am touching is only a part of the reality, not complete reality. And Omkara takes us, Turiyam takes us to that complete reality when I come to know through realization, direct experience, this division between me and the world and internal division between body and mind. Every sort of difference will be completely annihilated. And what remains is that Turiyam. Another name for Turiyam is Atma. Another name for Atma is Brahman. And in the second mantra, we're talking about, we get Mahavakya. Soyam Atma Brahma. Saha I am Atma Brahma. This Atma, which I say me, I, is none other than Brahman. And it is one of the four important Mahavakyas from the from every Veda, one Mahavakya is taken, though there are hundreds of Mahavakyas. But we get confused, so only one is taken. And that is why this Mandukya Upanishad is very sacred, because even though it is small, it contains one of the most precious, I am Atma Brahma. This Atma itself is Brahma. So, from the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th mantras, the sadhana, how to do upasana, how to train the mind and approach reality slowly and slowly, for that a specific methodology is given. The four parts of the Omkara must be equated with the four parts of the Atman. That is to say, A, the syllable A, has to be unified with the waking state in both the individual VST as well as samasti called Virat. Similarly, Ukara has to be harmonized with Taijasa and Hiranyagarbha. Similarly, Makara is to be harmonized with both Prajna and Ishvara, and if we succeed in this practical sadhana, not theoretical knowledge, then we will reach finally a fit state where only Brahmakara Vritti remains. I am there, the world is not there, but I am there representing the entire creation, and Brahman is there. There seems to be very thin partition separating from both of us, and that partition is not physical, it is purely mental, and it is called Ajnanam, or very thin veil of Mahamaya. And by Guru's grace, God's grace, that thin veil can be completely destroyed. Only God's grace can destroy. And that final state of the mind is called Brahma Akara Vritti, Krishna Akara Vritti, Kalika Akara Vritti, Rama Akara Vritti. That is why we say stigmata. By meditating upon the passion of Christ, person will develop exact wounds that Christ suffered and died from. Really, he did not die. Sri Ramakrishna said, it is like a pillowcase, nothing happens inside, it is only the cover that is torn, because Jesus was a incarnation of God, not even a realized soul, incarnation of God. So this is called Atma Vichara. And this is how sadhana has to be done, because every Indian school of philosophy called Darshana, its goal is not merely philosophy, that is only as an aid for intellectual understanding. Reality is, it is to become, to realize that I am that. If they are dualists, they say we go to Vaikuntha, Kailasa, Devi Loka, but there the divine, it will correct whatever is necessary, it will grant. In fact, I am inclined to think Vaikuntha, Kailasa, Devi Loka with Brahmakara Vrutti. But when any sadhaka reached that state, that person will definitely reach the highest state. There is no doubt about it. So now I have to tell you certain fundamental principles, the speciality of the Mandukya Upanishad, and that is there in other Upanishads, but here very specifically, first of all, a very deep, detailed, correct analysis of the three states of every jiva, including a mosquito, an amoeba, it will go through waking state, dreamless state. Some scientists had observed whales, they stand upright and for about 15 minutes they go to that state called sleep, and I am sure first it will be dream state where the male will be dreaming about mating with the females, and the females are thinking, I want to propagate myself through children and I want to protect my children. So this is universal phenomena. Yadevi sarvabhuteshu matru rupena samsthita namastasyai 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 namo namaha. That is how we have to understand. So this analysis, what is the certain principles we have to understand? Very easy to understand. First thing is, whatever I experience is not me. Simple example. I see a tree, I don't say I am the tree. I see a house, I don't say I am the house. So like that, but it stops just outside the body. When it comes to the body, we enter into a confused state. I understand myself as both the body and not the body. For example, you ask somebody, how are you? He says, I am not well. And why are you not well? My head is aching. My table is broken. My house is leaking. My car engine doesn't start. He doesn't say, I am not starting, I am not leaking. Crystal clearly, my hand, my leg, my head, my stomach, correctly he is telling. But next moment, I am not well. Body is not well, hand is not well, stomach is not well. But the person forgets. He says, my stomach is upset. But next moment, I am upset because my deep identity with the body. Similar thing we have to understand. I had an unpleasant experience, therefore I am unhappy. Who had the unpleasant experience? The mind, Antakarna. Who is saying that I had a complete identification with that body? So, what is the principle? Whatever I experience, whatever you experience, whatever anybody experiences, including a mosquito, when it sees you and wants to suck the blood, it never says, this is me. Because even a mosquito has wisdom. It doesn't want to drink its own blood. It always wants to drink somebody else's blood. So this is the first principle. And you experiment. You see 10 objects and you say, I see a window, I am not the window. I see a man, I am not that man. I see a dog, I am not the dog. I see a donkey, I am not the donkey. I see a car, I am not the car, etc. But when it comes to the mind, we also say, my mind is disturbed, my mind is restless, but I feel sad, I feel restless. So, one moment, I have the capacity to separate. Second, I identify myself. This is the effect of ajnana, and that needs to be, whatever I experience, it could be outside world, it could be my body, and it could be my mind. I am completely separate. That is the first principle. And the second principle is, whatever qualities belong to any object that I experience, those qualities belong to that particular object. I have nothing to do with it. Simple example again. I see a red flower and it is very fragrant. It is a huge flower. Take this. It is huge, it is red, and it is fragrant. So the hugeness, the color redness, and the fragrance belong to that flower. And with the flower dies, those qualities will die. I can never identify with those qualities. Where is this leading us? Because if we can say, my leg is aching, stomach is upset, I am not upset, then we have progressed in spiritual life and more identifying with Brahma. If I can say, there is a thought, I see a thought of anger, hatred, jealousy in my mind, but I am not angry, I am not jealous, etc., then that is difficult. But if we practice, yes, I witness, just as I witness a drama, I witness my own body, mind, and that is practicing detachment, that is called vairagya, discriminating what I am and what I am not, and giving up what I am not gradually. It will take time, but making a sincere attempt to do so. So, two principles. Whatever I experience is not me, applies to yourself, and whatever qualities belong to that object also belong to that object and not to me. Apply this now to the three states. I experience waking. I am a witness to that waking. I am not the waker. I am experiencing the waking state, but I am not the waking state. I am not Vishwa. I am not Virat. Similarly, I am not Tejasa. I am not the Hiranyagarbha. I am not the Prajna. I am not the Ishvara. I am completely separate, and whatever happens in these three states, sometimes sukha, sometimes dukkha, it doesn't affect me at all. And if some sweet happens to give pleasure and the mind feels I am happy, and if it doesn't happen to be good, or if that sweet creates an upset stomach, this stomach feels the pain, vomiting, purging, then also it belongs to the body, not to me. I am the eternal witness. And if you can understand what we are discussing now, apply it to Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swamiji, direct disciples, you will see that every moment of their life, joyfully they have identified with Paramatma, and that is why they are all Jivan Muktas. So it is said in the Upanishads, Asya kule abrahmavit nabhavati. If there is a knower of Brahman in his family, no abrahmavit is ever born. But do not take it in a literary way, but take it in a symbolical way, metaphorical way. All the disciples whom I accept, they belong to me, they are my children, and they will never remain non-knowers of Brahman, they will always do. And this is what Holy Mother wants to say, to every devotee two commandments of the Holy Mother. I am your mother. Never forget you have a mother and I am your mother. This is the first commandment. Second commandment is, you are my child and you conduct your life like my child, not the child of a dog or a pig or a buffalo. Always remember. That's what Swami Vivekananda used to say. I can never do anything wrong because I am the child of that great soul called Swami Vivekananda. And tremendous strength will come. We have to practice it gradually. So from mantra 8 to mantra 11, Upasana Krama, how we have to practice in a practical way, Nididhyasana. First is Shravana, second is deep thinking called Manana, third is called Nididhyasana. Nididhyasana is an attempt to transform our life inside and outside in accordance to the belief we profess. This is the methodology. Whatever be the path we follow, bhakti or whatever it is, if a bhakta doesn't do this, he is not a true bhakta. That is why a great saint sings, itane guna jame so sant. A person who has these qualities alone is entitled to be called a saint. And he goes, hari ko bhajana sadhu ki seva sarva bhuta par daya himsa lobha chal na ane maname. That means all spiritual qualities will be developed and all demonic qualities will be gradually, slowly, but surely will be reduced. That is called sadhana. And when a person succeeds to some extent, then alone he is entitled to be called a saint. These spiritual qualities must most naturally, spontaneously manifest themselves in the sadhaka. Then only we can say we have progressed, not until that time. And the 12th mantra is graphically describing what is that, what the second half of the 7th mantra describing the Turiyam in positive terms, prapanchopashamam, shantam, shivam, advaitam. And a person who practices this upasana system developed through the analysis of the three states of experience in this Mandukya Upanishad, through mantras 3rd, 4th, 5th and 6th, understands the nature of Turiyam in a much better way, and slowly through Manana and Nididhyasana identifies himself with that. And finally, he will say, I am Advaita. Really, he doesn't say, because there is nobody to whom he can say. There is no mind through which he can say. There is no mouth to mouth these words. But for conveying from one human being to the other human being, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Sri Guru Uvacha, etc., we use these words. Remember, these descriptions have no relevance in that highest state of Brahma. So, this is the summary of this Munduka Upanishad. So, everything else other than me is called Anatma. I am separate from waking, dream and deep sleep. I am the pure witness. I am the Atman. And everything else is dependent upon me. And without me, they cannot exist. I can exist without them. And whatever is dependent is called mithya or asatyam. And that is a realization which we come through. And that's why Ramanuja puts it, rakshishyasi iti vishvasaha. Complete faith in God. He alone can save me. And that comes by the grace of the Guru and by the grace of God. So, this is how we have to do vichara. Suppose he is a bhakta. Don't think The sadhana is exactly the same. The words may be different. In the Jnana Marga, a sadhaka is expected to say, I am not this, but I am Brahman. I am Atma Brahma. Aham Brahmasmi. In Bhakti Yoga, he is to say, I do not exist, only you exist. So I surrender, I merge my limited I in the ocean of that unlimited you, and the result is exactly the same. But ignorant people, unintelligent people go on quarreling, which path is the best? There is only one path. There are some so-called intelligent swamis. There is only one path. Whereas we follow Sri Ramakrishna, says infinite paths are there. For a child, it is one path. For a Hindu, it is one path. For a Christian, for a Muslim, for a Buddhist, for a non-believer, different paths. But all paths ultimately lead to the same goal. Like if there are 100 openings round a tent, round a round tent. Anybody can enter inside the tent from any direction, as if every part of the wall of the tent is a doorway, open doorway. That, I think, is a beautiful example. The doorway is not important, but entering into the, inside the canopy and enjoy whatever, puja, bhajan, musical concert, anything, discourse, that is important. Let us not quarrel about these things. So, what is the ultimate? That I am Turiyam, but temporarily because of ignorance, I am appearing as Vishwa, Tajasa and Prajna, and this knowledge is enough to know that I am really none of them, but I am Turiyam, and I am Turiyam all the time, and this knowledge is given in the 7th mantra, 8, 9 and 10, 11 and 11, they outline a methodology, how to recognize that one, how to do sadhana, and slowly realize it, not merely intellectually. So, I will stop here, and in my next class, I will take up each one of these 12 mantras, and very briefly, I will dwell upon the simple meaning. But if you have understood what I have spoken so far, you have understood not only the entire Mandukya Upanishad, but every other Upanishad. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.